Good to have you back again.
Good
yes.
to be here.
Yes. Workplace violence. You see it in the headlines, in the news, ever so prevalent. You know, you hear these stereotypes and stigmas of specific types of businesses that have big problems with domestic violence. Today, if we can, we'd like to maybe see if we can find out a little bit more about domestic violence, find out maybe some of the background about domestic violence, and especially pertaining to the workplace. And also, as we'd mentioned earlier, maybe find out some of the warning signs. Now, how likely is it that someone might experience workplace violence today?
Well, thanks to a couple of companies that have been doing research in this area that I want to thank very much for providing us information with, because it's a very new subject, this problem. I want to thank the Merit Company in Santa Monica. They publish and organize a booklet called The Protection of Assets Manual, which companies purchase to help reduce this potential problem. And Jim Walsh also, who is a one of their writers and editors, who produced a book called True Odds. In addition, I want to thank Kroll & Associates. They specialize in crisis management programs that help organizations prepare for workplace violence in order to prevent,
it,
which we'll be going into later on. There's a Wall Street Journal article written back in October of 94 regarding this particular problem of workplace violence. And it's a big problem, but they kind of felt also it was grossly exaggerated on one end. And I just wanted to read a portion of it. A federal consensus of workplace homicides found that 59 employees were killed by coworkers or former coworkers in 1993, out of a total of a national workforce of 120 plus million people. That's 1 in 2.1 million people that actually participate in or get into this type of situation. It gets into the media and we hear about it. Obviously, it's a very tragic situation, but it's kind of like an airplane crash. Airplanes statistically are much safer than driving in a car because of far more car accidents and deaths than plane crashes. But because a plane, it's so dramatic when it crashes, and there's explosions and all these terrible things happen, that it hits the newspapers. And it is a problem, obviously. On the reverse side, with that figure of 1 in 2 million, the study also went on to say that, like, the National Weather Service puts the odds of getting struck by lightning as 1 in 600,000. That's the same statistic, actually, is what it boiled down to for women.
Women are much are slightly likely more likely to be involved in workplace violence, and sometimes that's connected to domestic violence, because their partners can find them at the workplace easier. If they move out or they move away or something, they can find them at the workplace easier than they can in their home environment.
And also, as far as statistics go, to break it down, like the 1994 figure, out of 91 people murdered, 9% of those were homicides on the job versus 75% were based on robberies. And then by coworkers and former coworkers, it was 5%. And with customers and clients, 4%. And then personal acquaintances like boyfriends and spouses coming onto the workplace was like 4% or so. So when it started to divide it up a bit, it takes a more realistic approach because it is such a traumatic and traumatic event that takes place. Matter of fact, the Department of Labor lists homicides as the leading cause of death for women in the workplace. It's a big figure.
It is.
I mean, that's a big thing, a statement. And 35% of the women who die in the job are murdered versus 15% who are men. And one of the reasons for that is that more women are in the retail clerk positions, let's say, working late at night, for instance, in a, you know, like a shop or something. And it's just a more dangerous situation. And but men have a higher incident rate of getting hurt on the job.
As opposed to actual problems on the work site itself, we're talking about domestic violence.
Exactly.
And domestic violence.
Exactly. Okay. So once it's broken down, it helps to understand. And there was another study that was done when interviewing managers from large corporations. They felt that there were early signs that they were actually ignored by the company and by the victim or by both. And so there's got to be responsibility at some end, which we'll get into shortly, as to how to help resolve some of the issues.
But we also like to emphasize that even though there is a higher risk of violence for women on the job, they say that it's still the same odds as being hit by lightning, which is one
in 600,000.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So sometimes we take something that we see on TV and we get very scared by it because we think, oh my God, now I'm scared to go to work. Mm-hmm. Whereas statistically, it's not that likely. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just need to make sure that you take care of yourself, that mm-hmm. you keep your eyes open. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that later.
You had mentioned just a second ago that there are warning signs. Before we get to the warning signs, mm-hmm. before we focus on that, maybe we should reach back just a bit to maybe some of the causes of some of the problems with workplace violence.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It seems to be that a lot of the workplace violence is based in personality conflicts, marital and family problems, substance abuse, work-related and specific, non-specific stress, as well as emotional instability, company downsizing and firing, and poor company and employee relations.
And a lot of that leads into like homicides, assaults, and threats in the workplace. Will probably be an increase through the next century because of the downsizing.
Mm-hmm.
When we get downsizing, there's this ripple effect. Mm-hmm. People have mortgages to pay. There's not as many jobs out there during a depressed economic situation. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, fear goes up. Everyone gets very, very scared. The minute there's fear, people mm-hmm. have to survive. So survival mechanism can turn into anger.
Right.
And they go back to, who let me go? Well, this big blanket of a legal entity called a corporation. Mm-hmm. And this corporation then let me go. So they're the cause of the problem. And it's a bit difficult situation. And also with there's other things that are on the decline.
Mm-hmm.
Family support, family structure.
Mm-hmm.
Some people turn to church. Some people turn the community, and a lot of these institutions are not there in the same way as far as, let's say, community mm-hmm. support as far as getting basic counseling there.
Right.
There's employee restructuring going on with massive layoffs, and maybe the outplacement activity isn't handled fully from a counseling standpoint, or it could be diffused maybe. So all these add up to a very explosive situation, and then also untreated mental problems
mm-hmm.
With
mm-hmm.
workers.
Yes, a lot of people are not getting the mental treatment that they need
mm-hmm.
because insurance is being cut down for emotional health. Mm-hmm. So people are not getting the counseling that they need.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you can give us, without getting too specific,
mm-hmm.
maybe some brief examples of maybe some past things that you're aware of.
I think the as far as chronological order and detail, maybe the post office. Mm-hmm. is probably the easiest to follow, although we're not trying to segment them out.
No.
But they're so well documented, and it seems to be there has been a lot of problems in the post office. I'm going to share two specific instances because they encapsulate pretty cleanly the history in just a few short
mm-hmm.
sentences.
Mm-hmm.
Like in 94, after sexually harassing a female coworker, Mark Hilburn, and this happened in Dana Point, post office,
mm-hmm.
was discharged from his job at a very small location down in Southern California there. And after he was discharged, Hilburn continued to make threats against a female coworker and wrote a series of violent and sexually explicit notes. Several weeks later, he walked into the facility where he worked, opened fire, killing a letter carrier and wounding a clerk. And then before that, in 93 in May, a Pulse employee called Larry Jason, he entered his Michigan office, shot three people, killing one. Jason had expressed his displeasure at being passed up for promotion that went to a female employee.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another problem. A lot of men can't handle female supervisors,
mm-hmm.
and female supervisors is probably at the all-time high in our society
now. Sure, certainly.
So egos can get bent at a joint, and it's a change.
Mm-hmm.
It's a change in culture. Yeah, the post office is interesting. As part of the study there, the homicide rate for the post office is like 2.1 per 100,000.
Mm.
And this suggests that the postal employees are actually about 2.5 times less likely to die in the job than other workers. However, a higher proportion of postal workers who die in the job are killed by co-workers.
Mm.
It's kind of interesting to look
yeah.
at that. And that was broken down into some workplace experts found that a lot of that the violence that's attributed to the post office is due to the militaristic management style. And as one quote here is, the generally ill-educated and badly managed workforce, and the restructuring also that cut out around 30,000 employees earlier in the 90s.
Right.
So with all of this in play, it's adding up to a potential disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, the way that you're explaining it and the way that you've explained these specific incidents is, I guess to me, it was quite obvious that there were warning signs.
Mm-hmm.
What can we look out for as far as warning signs are concerned? I mean, again, as you pointed out very eloquently, it's very obvious. But when you're in the workplace, how do you scope out these potential problems?
Ellen, did you want to?
Sure. The warning signs are pretty broad. They're very broad, and they can include a number of different factors.
And when we share these two, we don't want everybody to go to work the next day and start going, oh my gosh, everyone around me kind of meets these criteria.
Right,
it takes wisdom in order to sort this out. And there are no specific ways or methods because this is very new.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many factors involved. So these are just a few to look out for and be aware of.
And again, we're not trying to scope out anybody or specifically target anybody. Again, this is specifically addressing the issue of workplace violence.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we're not pointing out anyone in specific.
Right.
What are some of the warning signs?
The individual would have probably irrational beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be verbal and or written threats, and usually there is a pattern. There may be first verbal threats, and then maybe there might be written threats. Not necessarily in that particular pattern, but there's usually, you start to see a building up.
Mm-hmm.
It starts to get worse and worse. Casual discussions of violence. Constant blaming and or complaining. Now, of course, that could be almost any of us at times. But when you start to see it combined with a lot of other stuff, then there's something to watch out for. You need to just keep an eye out. Romantic obsessions.
That's a big one.
That's for a lot. There's a lot of stuff like that.
As you shared that with the post office, that was a romantic obsession,
mm-hmm.
that one that
mm-hmm.
happened in Dana Point.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes sexual harassment that just really starts to go bad. The individual shows violence to inanimate objects, throws chairs.
Kicks maybe a trash can across the room
right.
or something.
Mm-hmm. Right. The person is suicidal. Female supervisors with male subordinates.
Mm-hmm. right.
Downsizing and firing, that can lead to some problems there. And the last one would be someone who carries weapons to work.
Mm-hmm. One example of that mm-hmm. was shared with me was a very large corporation had a problem with an executive.
Mm-hmm.
This individual had come to work and brandish a pistol that they would carry, or actually had attached to their ankle. So this person would put up their legs and make sure everybody saw what they were carrying. And this person had people working under him, a dozen or so individuals, plus others mm-hmm. involved. Well, a couple of things they were concerned of. First of all, they thought he was losing touch with reality in a number of things that were being stated.
Mm-hmm.
The employees, of course, were concerned. They found that he had bugged the voicemail system.
Mm-hmm.
Another concern, he was a computer expert, so of course they were very concerned for the corporate computer situation.
Mm-hmm.
That could be
right.
deadly. So they had a lot of problems here. So they had to figure out, now this is a good management organization that they brought in and had to handle. They saw mm-hmm. the signs, they saw a problem, and they had to deal with it in the safest way possible. Because you wouldn't just let somebody go like that on premise.
Yeah.
So they were thinking, well, okay, how do we do this to protect everybody? How do we get rid of this gun that he's carrying with him on a 24-hour basis, possibly,
right.
when he walks out of the house? And they thought, well, why don't we do a little subterfuge, arrange to meet him at an airport.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to go through metal detector.
Right, right.
No gun allowed.
Right.
They had a room there, prearranged. They removed the furniture that could be thrown. They alerted the security at the airport. They had their own security people there also. And they claimed that there were some executives flying in, just going to be there a couple hours, and they needed to talk about things regarding that division.
Mm-hmm.
They got into the room. They had, of course, some security people that were dressed up as executives that day.
Mm-hmm.
They were all prepared. The executives brought in were sitting by the door in case they had to leave quickly. Very carefully mm-hmm. thought out, very secure. And they let him go at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a box with all of his things all packed up, said, here you go, off you go. Now, there's a backside to this also. They put on extra security and surveillance of the individual, plus of the executives of the corporation, plus around the corporate perimeter also.
Right.
Some people could say, well, you know, aren't you going a bit far there? No.
No.
Not in today's time. I mean, look at what happened not too long ago at a used aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
An employee came
in
there,
right.
and he told everybody first, get down. Somebody turned around, from what I recall in the news, and said, they started laughing. They didn't. They knew the guy. They didn't believe what was going on, and he started shooting.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the big suggestions I would think would be, that would be a good warning sign.
Oh, certainly.
If someone tells you to do something, even though you think it's a joke, hit the deck.
Yeah.
Do what they tell you to do. It's like an airplane. They train the stewardesses. If a hijacker's on there with a gun, the stewardesses do nothing but cooperate.
Right, right.
Let the professionals handle it at some time or another.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
A question here. Again, we're talking with Dana and Ellen Barocca. They are from Lighthouse Counseling Services. And today, again, we are talking about workplace violence. We've keyed in on the problems. We've keyed in on some of the background of the potential in some of the problems at the workplace as far as violence is concerned. What are maybe some specific ways that our listeners can protect themselves when it comes to workplace violence? And that was a great example of, you know, when somebody tells you something, you hit the deck.
You do it.
Right.
Yes,
no questions.
I'm going to address this from the individual employee standpoint and from the company standpoint because there's a responsibility here on the employees also that if they see a potential problem or lack of security in their company, they need to possibly go to management and talk with them about this. There's enough literature out now.
Right.
Although it's fairly new. I mean, even RAND Corporation does not have statistical studies done yet on workplace violence.
Amazing.
It's too new.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
From the company's standpoint, one of the things we offer at Lighthouse Counseling Services is a screening test, a personality test, to try to see, if, for both purposes, for the company to make sure they're hiring the right person, and for the person to make sure they're at home in this environment.
Right.
At that point, you can start to weed out potential problems. Nothing's guaranteed. But the more screening you have in selecting the employee, hopefully the better the opportunity to screen them out.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first responsibility is back on the company. And the company, by the way, is liable. If they're informed of a potential problem and they take no action, they are technically liable for any after effects on the situation. There needs to be a discussion of what to do and how to handle things at the company level.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, even if a wife dies, let's say, and there's an employee that's been there 30 years. Obviously, he hasn't been tested. It's been 30 years and been there a long time. And you see that person having some severe problems with maybe a spouse dying, or maybe they're having financial problems all of a sudden. If you see something happening out of the ordinary, go to somebody, because that's the kind of individual that it's not in their right state of mind. They would not normally participate or even think of doing such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But being in this unstable condition, it's very easy to take aggression out on those around you. Because how does abuse work in the household? You take it out of the person closest to you. So this is no different than that. Ellen, did you want to share some ideas?
You were going to go to the next one.
Yeah. Some other ideas would be like, you know, it's good communication programs with employees, like reporting. There has to be a reporting program set up. So no one is put in jeopardy. You know, if it's written up, or maybe you have a specific manager you go to talk to, it's off the record. Keep it safe so no one's being put on the spot. And there needs to be discussions about that. There's a program ever put up by the federal government, and we happen to run across it with a federal employee. I wanted to share this because some people say, you know, is the federal government doing anything to protect their employees? It's called the River Crossing. I want to share this real quick. Now, these are from top executives in the federal government. They're doing this with them. They're kind of to get them thinking. So this is the scenario. In a house is a young woman married to a man who works very hard. She feels neglected. When her husband goes off on still another trip, the young wife meets an attractive man who invites her to his house. She spends the night, and at dawn she leaves, knowing her husband is coming back. Alas, the bridge is blocked by a madman who kills everyone who comes near. The young wife follows the river and meets the ferryman, but he demands $30 to take her to the other side. The young wife has no money. She runs back to her lover and asks for $30. He refuses to help. The woman then remembers that a platonic friend lives close by. She runs to him and explains her plight. The friend refuses to help. She has delusioned him by her conduct. Her only choice is to go back to the bridge in spite of the danger, and the madman kills her. That is the story. Now, the question is, in what order do you hold the people named in the story? The woman, the husband, the lover, the madman, the ferryman, and the friend responsible for the tragedy.
Mm.
And that's, they're trying to get individuals to think more,
right?
To trace things back. Mm-hmm. And that's a company responsibility. It's a thinking pattern. And it will also dovetail into management style.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So these warning signs and these protective mechanisms, like the Protection of Assets Manual from the Merit Company, it helps to create a structure. And structure then can create safety.
Mm-hmm. And then also the Kroll Associates has a program, don't they, Dana?
Yes, where they come in, they do assessments.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the interesting things, Kroll used to be work for the RAND Corporation as an international terrorism specialist.
Mm-hmm.
So there are these people out there. There's not a lot of companies. This is too new. But there are people out there that are trying to work with organizations to help prevent this problem.
Mm-hmm.
Is there adequate security at the company? That would be probably the fourth thing to look at. Mm-hmm. Are there video cameras that help?
And is the workplace safe? Are the bathrooms and the copiers located in a safe area? Are the parking lots well lit? If not, talk with management and come up with solutions. If the parking lot is not a safe place, then an escort program might be needed to be developed.
Mm-hmm. Some other basic things would be to avoid, sitting with your back to a door. That can sound paranoid. But, it's a basic thing, though. Don't keep scissors or letter openers on top of your desk. Those are weapons that can be used.
Because mm-hmm.
we're talking about murder rate and the statistics. We're not talking about other activities that happen in the workplace,
right,
too. There's also electronic stalkers. I mean, that's a whole subject in itself.
Mm-hmm.
If you're getting phone calls, or that can be phone calls, that could be faxes,
it
could be email, any number of things these days, keep a record and a date of the information.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want phone calls coming through, give a list to the receptionist if you can, or block them through your voicemail somehow.
Right.
Or you don't have to return the call to the voicemail. But tell a receptionist and have her record the information, because that can be used later on in court if you need to, from what we understand.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's very important to alert supervisors and coworkers of any stalkers, any harassment, of any past battering, because the easiest place for an ex-husband or boyfriend to get to a woman in a battering situation is at work, because they know where they're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So they could be waiting outside or maybe enter the building. So if you don't want that person coming in, you have to alert somebody to that.
Right.
So that way, if someone sees a certain person that's not supposed to be in the office, they can alert security,
right,
for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Two final things would be that if you're going to another end of the building, tell somebody in the area, maybe your secretary or an assistant or a coworker, that you're going there when you expect to be back.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds kind of crazy, but from a business standpoint, they should know anyway for returning phone calls,
right.
But it's also a backup for security purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And the last, I guess there's actually two more things. One is that if you're in an elevator and someone is suspicious and you want to get off the elevator,
get off.
Press all the buttons on the elevator. Throw your hands in all the buttons at once. It will cause it to stop on every floor.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's one way to just put a little dent in someone's idea.
Mm-hmm.
A little stopper. The other thing is, like carjackings, for instance. It's very prevalent these days. There was a chief of police in the Midwest, I believe. He was walking down the middle of the street in a busy afternoon, and he was opening the car doors of the drivers, and then they'd get startled. And, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
And he'd say, really, I'm so-and-so, chief of police of the city. Hello, I could have just robbed you. I could have killed you. I would highly suggest that you lock your door.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Simple things.
Mm-hmm.
How often
very
do we lock
things.
The door?
Mm-hmm.
It's so basic.
Mm-hmm.
It's so basic. And, if someone is staring at you at the workplace in the wrong way, tell them to please stop.
Mm-hmm.
And if it continues, then you might have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Get assistance.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some basic ideas, I think. Idea starters, at least. But I would say workplace violence can be averted by having a plan and having a discussion about it at work and having protection mechanisms built in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think also it's really important to trust your intuition.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we think, oh no, I'm just being paranoid, or oh no, there's nothing wrong here, it's just me. And sometimes we need to listen to that little voice inside that says something's not right here. and I need to do something about it.
Again, we're talking with Ellen and Dana Barocca. They are from Lighthouse Counseling Services. And today we're focusing in on workplace violence, finding out about it, and some of the things that we can do to prevent ourselves from becoming victims. If people wanted to find out a little bit more about workplace violence, you said obviously that it's a very, very new subject, and there are studies that are out, they're trickling out, and there is information available. If our listeners or anyone would like to get more information on this, could they get that through you?
Sure, just give us a call at area code 310-453-56. That's the wrong number. I'm sorry, I apologize. Cancel that one out. 310-453-6556. Area code 310-453-6556. Or you can ask for the City of Santa Monica and request the number for Lighthouse Counseling Services.
Again, they offer lots more at Lighthouse Counseling Services. They offer individual counseling. Maybe you can give us a quick rundown of just some of the things that you offer at Lighthouse Counseling Services, as well as the information on workplace violence.
We provide individual, family, children, teen counseling, relationship counseling. We have a program that we're very well known for, and people will drive in up to 2 hours away for this program that can actually help reduce violence or domestic problems and help create some relationship satisfaction, because this program can reduce divorce and separation by as much as 50%, along with increasing marital satisfaction, too. We have a, then we do our testing also for companies. We do it in four ways, actually. Our testing for careers can be used for individuals that are not quite sure what direction they want to go into, so we can use it for that. We use it for new hires for corporations. For if a manager, they want to promote somebody to management, not quite sure if they can handle the stress, we do that testing. And also for outplacement for firms. And that's a big thing if a firm is laying somebody off. Have a decent outplacement program that really truly supports the individual from an empathetic standpoint, because there should, if there's love and care, it will help to reduce the tension and the fear and the anxiety of being taken away from a position that maybe they love and have invested their blood and sweat and tears into that position. Now they're being let go for whatever reason. Make the transition as easy as possible with giving them support. We also have a nonprofit section that we work with the children and teens of the Santa Monica Boys and Girls Club. And we have a great time with the kids there. We remember we're just doing a conflict resolution program with the teens over there. And it was interesting to note that during our 14-week program, that the kids would bring some things, and they would sometimes maybe want to go out and create some type of violence, possibly, or hitting a friend, or taking it out in an aggressive way. But through learning how to talk about it in a structured, caring, loving way, and they know they have methods to do it, well, what does that do? It helps create violence. It will hopefully also help to reduce domestic violence long-term and increase relationship satisfaction also. We also have a couple times a month very inexpensive workshops, which are only $5. And we talk about subjects. Sometimes we do career. Sometimes we do them on dreams. Anger workshop is a very popular one. Abandonment. Just a whole myriad of subjects in order to work with individuals. We have one on entrepreneurialism for people that want to start jobs and how to deal with it from a psychological standpoint, because that can be very traumatic to starting up a business.
Yeah.
One more final tip on maybe helping out so that we don't become victims of workplace violence.
Use your intuition. If you think there's a problem, there could very well be, and seek help. Go to the company, go to a counselor, get assistance.
Don't ignore the problem.
For more information, they can contact you at Lighthouse Counseling Services at
area code 310-453-6556. It's area code 310-453-6556 in the City of Santa Monica. That's Lighthouse Counseling Services.
Again, we'd like to thank both of you for coming down and enlightening us on workplace violence from the Lighthouse Counseling Services Center, Dana and Ellen Barocca.
Thanks for having us, Rich.
Thank you.
For Community Forum, I'm Rich Guzman.